This is side two of D315 audio cassette three, which looks at European perspectives on racial violence. It's introduced by Paul Gordon.
On this side of the tape, we look at European perspectives on racial violence. Racial violence and harassment are not problems confined to Britain. They affect a great many other countries, including most of those in Europe. We hear from three people who've been closely watching events and developments in Europe and who have been involved in attempts to combat the problem. Liz Fakiti is a researcher at the Institute of Race Relations, an educational charity based in London which is concerned with challenging racism. Since the early 1990s, she has been working on a research project monitoring racism in Europe, and as part of that, she brings out a bi-monthly bulletin which looks at trends in different European countries.
When I'm looking at racial violence, I tend to take a view which might not be the view of everybody else, but you have to look at racism in its entirety. So I look at all aspects of racial violence, the racist attacks that happen on the street, the fascist activity, the growth of fascist parties across Europe, the racist attacks that might not be inspired by fascist groups but come out of more of a popular racism. For instance, in Italy, over the last years, some of the attacks that I've documented, which are mob attacks on immigrant camps or nomad camps or the camps of Romani on the outskirts of cities, take the form almost of pogroms, I would say. And those sorts of attacks aren't necessarily inspired by the fascists. They show a much wider racism in society. I'm also concerned with the racial violence that emanates from the police force. I think it's impossible to say that that isn't part of the growth of racism that we're seeing in Europe. And in my experience, what's happening is that police forces are really carrying out the internal immigration controls of all the European countries, which means more stop and search, more identity checks on the streets, inevitably in immigrant areas. And we're seeing a lot of young people, particularly, say, in France, North African youth, dying following identity checks.
The problem of racial violence is particularly acute in Germany and France, both of which have seen a rapid and serious escalation of the problem over the past few years.
If we look at racism in Germany over the whole spectrum, a few years ago we had something like 52 people dying at the hands of fascist parties, far-right violence. And that's actually declined over the last couple of years. But what's tended to happen is that the far-right agenda has become part of the mainstream agenda. Since then, Germany, I think partly because there was so much international, you know, horror about the neo-Nazi attacks that were happening. There was Rostock, there was Magdeburg, there was the murders at Solingen and Mölln. That what tended to happen was that many of these attacks were actually greeted with the most horrendous verdicts in the courts. I remember one case that I saw of a Vietnamese cigarette seller who was murdered by skinheads. And the court actually ruled that it was justifiable because he was selling contraband cigarettes. So what you had was the racism of the far right mirrored in many decisions in the courts. And I think very much because of the international attention on Germany, because of Rostock and developments like that, the courts have to some degree got their act together in terms of sentencing skinheads. The state has also brought in laws outlawing several of the smaller neo-Nazi parties. But at the same time, again, I have to say that the pattern has shifted. So there is more institutional violence, there is more police violence against refugees and anyone considered a foreigner. And the amount of suicides of asylum seekers in detention waiting deportation is probably the highest in Europe. In France, you have a situation where, obviously, you have Le Pen and FN. That's what most students are going to know about. But it's a very fluid situation. I mean, I find all the European countries very fluid in terms of the far right. I mean, a few years ago, people were saying Le Pen's not going to make an electoral breakthrough. And only this year, Le Pen and the Front National gained control of three mayorships in France. So you've got the FN very much there. But I have to say that there is very, very little difference between the FN and the ruling administration at the moment. The FN's programme to bring about zero immigration And a so-called crusade against fundamentalism is now the programme of a governing party. They have completely taken on Le Pen's themes. They've promised to bring about zero immigration. They've brought about charter deportations, organising flights to take whole loads of refugees back, for instance, to Zaire.
How does Liz Fekiti see the situation in Europe generally developing over the next few years? Might there be a need for new and tougher legislation on the subject?
I'm afraid that unless people really wake up to what's happening, in general terms, I see the situation getting much worse. All the European countries are united in their asylum and immigration policies. Secondly, those policies have shown to be popular at an electoral level. So the politicians play those issues again and again and again. They play the race card, and this generates an atmosphere of popular racism and a space for the far right to organise. So I see the politicians as being very, very responsible for the climate. I think what will happen is a continuation of the same trends. In the short term, I think that there are enough laws on the statute books of all the European countries to deal with racial violence and the far right. We've got to have courts giving tough decisions and not giving the kind of decisions that legitimate violence. I saw one example from Portugal recently that I just couldn't believe. A mob of youth took an Angolan, tied him up on a railway track and beat him up. And those youth got off of the charges on the grounds that there was a railway strike that day. So these sorts of decisions reinforce the racism. People who are racist, who have extreme racist views, who go out and commit offences and beat people up, are carrying out criminal acts that should be punished. And if this is reflected in the institutions by the kind of investigations the police carry out on the far right, a lot can be done to stamp out the kind of violence that we're seeing. In the long term, I do believe that you cannot get rid of the problem of the growth of the far right and racial violence by saying let's ban the far right. I don't think in the long term that that will work. First of all you do is you push them underground so that they become more violent and carry out more attacks. I think it really, really needs education at the very start of life of young people. You need education against racism. You need people becoming active against racism. Because, as I mentioned earlier, one of the main problems is that the race issue or the immigration issue is played by the political parties as part of their electoral campaigning. That has got to stop. That is irresponsible.
Liz Fekiti. Kathy Lloyd works as a researcher at the Centre for Research and Ethnic Relations at the University of Warwick and has been a close observer of developments in race relations in France for many years. She emphasises the importance of situating current problems in their historical context, specifically the history of French colonialism.